All right. So let's see what we're going to do today. Quite simply, we're going to find out what happens when this attachment system gets damaged. Now, this isn't an on or off situation. So it's not like the attachment system, you've got a broken attachment system and thus you're going to get this. There's degrees. Think of it like a gray area. All right. And we're going to look at the long-term effects. Basically, what's happening is a part of your child's personality, for better or for worse, it's being ingrained and it's being absorbed as a part of them in their decision-making process with everything and all their relationships moving forward. That's why this is so critical. It's why your child doesn't want to see you, thinks you're evil, believes terrible things about you without questioning it, without presenting any evidence. All right, here we go. The attachment system is a fundamental component of a child's emotional development, acting as the foundation for feelings of safety and security. This is huge, guys. Just want you to keep your child in mind. I know this is going to get gritty. I don't want you to be fearful, but I really want you to know what you're dealing, the consequences, and face it head on. This system is built through consistent, nurturing interactions with parents, caregivers, who provide emotional support and meet the child's needs. You know, the kid starts picking up on this. This is the person I can trust. When the system functions properly, it enables the child to explore the world with confidence and builds healthy relationships. Their marriage that's coming up. Without the assurance, however, when the attachment system becomes worn out or blown out due to inconsistent or inadequate caregiving, the consequences can be significant. Research by Dr. Craig Childress and Sam Vachman, he's a former professor, highlights the adverse effects on children whose emotional needs are not consistently met. For instance, consider a child named Alex. Alex's parents are frequently absent due to work commitments or are emotionally unavailable when present. This lack of reliable support can leave Alex feeling scared, sad, and confused. Now, so listen, you hear all this stuff about narcissists and borderline personalities and you know, children coming from poverty, you know, they're more apt to turn into narcissists. This is just not true. And this word narcissist has been so overused. I don't trust anyone saying it unless they have it backed up with, you know, a clinical psychologist diagnosis of that person, which is hard to get. So we're dealing with a lot of unknowns. The truth is, we all, go look this up, you have to have some narcissistic traits to you to survive. It's what makes you, you know, dress well and take showers and you know, want to present well. And it's just too much of something is not a good thing. All right, so let's see what happens when it's just removed. Without the assurance that caregivers will be there to provide comfort and meet their emotional needs, children like Alex may struggle to develop a sense of trust. This insecurity can manifest in various ways, such as difficulty forming and maintaining relationships. The child doesn't even know this is happening, by the way. Heightened anxiety and pervasive sense of vulnerability, which causes anxiousness, you know. Alex might find it challenging to trust others, fearing that they too might be unavailable or unreliable. You see how these effects have like a domino effect, how you parents and me parents, when we're doing these things, these choices, these things trickle down into our children's very families that they start in their marriages. Man, it's something else. Alex might find it challenging to trust others. All right, this can lead to a reluctance to seek help or form close bonds, impacting Alex's social and emotional growth. And remember, this is all happening at various stages of your life. You know, this is not, like I said, it's not an off and on switch. And the longer it goes on, where the child or the person now is unaware. This is why in our program that we have for young men getting married, the most important thing, and I'm not talking a marriage license, but when they're going to go into this relationship, man, golly, they have to be, both parties have to be aware in the society that we live in with so many broken families. It's been going on for 50, 60 years as feminism. Both parties need to be aware of the negative and the positive changes that were wrought on them by their parents between the ages of 1 and 10 years old. It's unfair to go into a marriage without you both being aware in general of a lot of the things that were given to you, ways of behavior, of interpreting things. You must find these things out. You don't even need to pay a lot of money to go to a clinical psychologist. You could do research and be honest with yourself. You can look at your childhood, etc. All right, let's continue. The attachment system's wear and tear can have long-lasting effects, shaping the individual's ability to navigate social interactions and emotional experiences throughout life. Understanding the importance of a reliable attachment system underscores the need for consistent, responsive caregiving to foster a child's emotional well-being and capacity for healthy relationships. Now, we're going to look at what happens, but just to remind you, we talked about this in the first summary of this, the psychology element term called the attachment system. And so we looked at that and we saw that that's that part of your human ability to judge people and recognize who's safe, who's not safe, how much of your time that you're going to give them and afford them is, you know, is it, are you making yourself subject to being hurt or damaged? All that's your attachment system making these decisions up. And one that is not healthy, if you start making mistakes, you start cutting people out of your life, etc. Not a good thing. People that really are beneficial and really necessary for your growth as children. And that's your parents, either your mom or your dad or both. All right, so let's see what happens with consequences. Splitting, and this is something you must understand this term, splitting. And I think you're going to look back after listening to this, and you're going to start seeing it happen. Now, where do I want you to start looking for all these things? Not with your wife or your husband. When you start looking for these things in yourself first. Go through all of your stuff that you're learning, and you deal with all of that, then and only then start looking over there. All right, so splitting, a defense mechanism, keyword defense. They can't help doing this. This has happened in childhood, and it's a protection mechanism for the child's soul. So childhood splitting, a defense mechanism where a child perceives people and situations in an all or nothing terms can have profound effects on family dynamics in adulthood. Adults who experience splitting as children may unconsciously replicate this behavior in their own families. And they don't have to do it all the time. It's triggered by crisis. It's the way they react, you know. So someone that has gone through a childhood totally unaware that this happened to them, that this is what they had to do to survive, they might unconsciously revert back to this in a crisis, and the crisis could be a new home purchase that is really expensive, or it doesn't have to be a bad thing. Yeah, it's just trauma. It's their response, and it's your subconscious trying to make things safe. So they split and replicate the behavior, the splitting, leading to strained relationships, misunderstandings, delusions, really, because they actually start believing things that aren't true, and emotional distress. This replication often occurs during conflicts, as I just said, where individuals may revert to viewing their spouse or children in extreme terms. They actually blame them, and the thing they blame them for doing is called, that they can't get over, and we'll get to that later, it's called a fixed, I think I might be adding immovable, it's fixed though, persecutory object. That I've had two or three of those in my life that was given to me and pointed at like, hey, I have to make this decision because of that. And I'm like, that's not even true. But you might be now thinking back and going, wow, I'm going through this too. Yeah. So forget about the fixed persecutory object. Let's get back to the splitting here. So, and let's take a look at how this happens. Consider the example of Alex, who grew up in an environment where splitting was a common coping mechanism. In other words, he's watching his parents do it. In other words, people are bad or good or bad. There's no in between, and you get cut off. Now, as an adult, Alex is married and he has children. During conflicts, Alex might start seeing their spouse in black and white terms, and focusing only on their perceived flaws and ignoring their positive attributes. Remember, they can't help it, and they don't know it's happening, right? To them, it feels normal. This can create a hostile and emotionally charged atmosphere, making it difficult for the family to resolve issues constructively. And no one's innocent here, because now whoever is getting this treatment, you know, if someone's splitting on you and you're starting to be turned into always inappropriate, everything you're doing is wrong, and you don't know what's going on either, you're going to respond like a monster eventually and with no self-control, and that's your fault. So now you're learning, right? Now we're learning. So now we can, like, take ownership of this. No one has to control our behavior. We can control it. And now that you recognize this behavior in yourself first, you might be doing this, man. This is what's important. That's why I like talking to guys. I can say this to a guy and he's not going to get pissed or deny that I might not be right. And you might, you know, they might need to check it out. All right. So let's look at this. So consider the example of Alex. All right, making it deal. Okay. Over time, such patterns can lead to deep-seated resentments, starting to sound like alienation, and a breakdown in communication. Almost 2 years for me. I've started looking at the calendar. Further exasperating, that's a fun word, the emotional distance within the family. Oh man, I'm living this. According to the works of Childress and Vaknin, recognizing and addressing these patterns early is crucial. Childress emphasizes the importance of understanding that these behaviors are often rooted in unresolved childhood experiences. Yeah, if you can just see this about yourself and go back to your childhood a little bit. Vaknin, on the other hand, highlights the need for self-awareness and therapeutic interventions to break the cycle of splitting. By becoming aware of these tendencies, individuals can learn to approach conflicts with a more balanced perspective, fostering healthier and more supportive family relationships. Addressing childhood splitting involves not only recognizing the behavior, but also actively working towards changing it. This may include seeking therapy, practicing mindfulness, and developing better communication skills. By doing so, adults can create a more stable and nurturing environment for their families. Got to be self-aware, though, first. Breaking free from the patterns of their past and promoting emotional well-being for future generations. All right, the importance. I think I've already highlighted some of these important things, but let's talk about how to fix this and healing these things. Becoming self-aware. Understanding one's childhood experiences, particularly those from formative years, the ages of 1 through 10, this is critical, guys, is crucial before entering into long-term commitments such as marriage. I would say even business partner relationships. Now, let's see. Renowned experts, he is, like Childress, and he put his stuff right out there on the line. Childress and Vaknin have emphasized that self-awareness and healing of childhood wounds can significantly prevent the replication of harmful patterns in adult relationships. These early years are often when core attachment styles and emotional patterns are established, which can profoundly influence behavior and relationship dynamics well into adulthood. For individuals raised in single-parent homes, particularly by single mothers, the likelihood of divorce in their own marriages can be higher. They are higher, not can be. They are. This statistic highlights the importance of addressing unresolved issues stemming from one's upbringing. Now, this doesn't apply to everyone, you know, but this is just in general. Single-parent households may inadvertently expose children to emotional and psychological challenges, such as feelings of abandonment, lack of security, or the burden of additional responsibilities. At a young age, these experiences can shape their perceptions of relationships and commitment, often leading to difficulties in their adult romantic lives. Preventative measures such as engaging in therapy and self-reflection are essential for breaking these cycles. Reading and listening to stuff like this, and I want you to research more. This is just a little bit of it. Therapy provides a structured and supportive environment where individuals can explore and understand their childhood experiences, identify harmful patterns, and develop healthier coping mechanisms. This sounds like it was written by a woman, doesn't it? All right. Self-reflection, on the other hand, encourages individuals to introspect or to be introspective and gain insights into their emotional responses and relationship behaviors. By prioritizing self-awareness, you know, becoming self-aware and healing, individuals can create a strong foundation for healthier and more fulfilling relationships. I hear, hear. This proactive approach not only benefits personal well-being, but also, you know why? Your personal well-being is in conflict. It's called cognitive dissonance. So when you split on somebody, you know it's not right. You can't find any you can't articulate real reasons why you should be, you know, cutting someone off like this. That would be acceptable. You know this, but it feels, you know, you can't help it. This proactive approach not only benefits personal well-being, but also contributes to the stability and longevity of future commitments, marriages, relationships, all that good stuff. Understanding childhood attachment and addressing any unresolved issues is a vital step towards ensuring that past wounds do not dictate the future, allowing for healthier and more resilient relationships. All right, guys, I know some of you think this is impossible. You know, the life has a funny way of doing things we don't believe is going to happen. I mean, that's what life is. So keep your chin up. Keep learning more about this. Find out where all your stuff is, you know, where you were taught wrong. And so it'll come up when you're doing it in your mind. You'll be like, wait a second, this ain't right. You know, it's no longer just a programmed, subconscious, animalistic response. You now see it in yourself. Anyways, thanks a lot for listening. I encourage you. Yeah, I encourage you. Keep going, man. Study this stuff. Dig it up. Just search these two people. There's more than these two people out there. But to me, hundreds of hours with both of these gentlemen's work. And I think I would have self-deleted without it. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Subscribe. You know you want to. Comment. Give me a good feeling today. Take care.